Coming up on Terp Weekly Edition, the new university president delivers his first video message.
How will a new metro line change a commuter's route?
What restaurant will make its way to Stamp next?
Hey you, think you can write a haiku?
Terp Weekly Edition starts now.
This is Terp Weekly Edition, a look at the issues and news in and around the University of Maryland College Park. Terp Weekly Edition is produced by students of the Philip Merrill College of Journalism in cooperation with WMUC Radio.
Welcome to Terp Weekly Edition. I'm Corey Gallagher.
And I'm Emily Groh. Every year, the university holds a Veterans Day event at Memorial Chapel to recognize and honor the brave members of the U.S. military who are part of the Maryland community. Terp Weekly Edition's Camille Bufano sat in on the inspirational event.
Most students don't often stop to think about the brave men and women fighting overseas while we drag ourselves to classes or pull all-nighters to finish a paper. But there are many, closer than we think. Students, staff, and veterans met at the Memorial Chapel to honor the services of Maryland's enlisted and retired military. Newly appointed President Dr. Wallace Lowe spoke acknowledging the university's veterans.
We are very proud that we have some 1,300 veterans on this campus among our faculty, our staff, and our students.
A few veterans shared some of their experiences. Professor of Agriculture at the university and a Navy vet, Dr. Bob Jaden, spoke of his challenges in boot camp after being drafted at 19 years old.
We were exposed to numerous interrogation techniques, such as waterboarding, psychological warfare. We were deprived of sleep. We were kept in 4-foot by 4-foot boxes, and we were not allowed to sleep for days on end. Now, this may seem strange, but realize this is training, and it was for war.
Other veterans in the crowd would nod their heads in agreement. And he touched upon the reality of the dangers of war after his unit was lucky enough to dodge a missile locked on their plane.
I distinctly remember writing a letter home, thinking this would be the last one I'd ever write.
Among others to speak was student Paul Flynn, who finished his service in the United States Air Force earlier this year.
I deployed several times to the Middle East for different jobs. Some were short and at times cushy. Others were a bit longer and a bit more dangerous.
He didn't expect the war to become as intense as it is today.
I don't think anyone could truly have envisioned what these wars would become over the decade after 9/11. There wasn't as much of an element of religion involved. The politics were very different, and the nightmare of IEDs had yet even to be realized.
Afterwards, each veteran was acknowledged with applause as they stood during their branch's military hymn. University all-female chorus Femmes de Chanson performed their rendition of My Country Tis of Thee and the national anthem. The Veterans Day celebration was the main event of the week-long tribute to Maryland's servicemen and women, including a candlelit labyrinth walk, and still to come, the well-known Wounded Warriors Project football game. With Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Camille Bufano. Thank you, veterans, for your service.
The new university president, Wallace Lowe, has been in office for less than a month, but he's already begun to chart a course for the school. This was evident in his first message to campus, a video address in which he talked about the unusual life path that brought him to his new position.
My own life journey has taken me around the world. I was born in China, raised in Peru, and I arrived in America as a teenager. I came alone with $200, the life savings of my parents, and I was sustained as generations of immigrants before me and after me have been sustained by faith in the American dream. This journey is not just mine. It's the story about higher education as the great equalizer in a democracy. It's about every student at Maryland who believes that if he can make it, so can I. So I feel privileged to be here, a brand new Terp, a member of the entering class. And this class is the most academically talented and the most diverse in our history. Over one-third of Maryland students are students of color. Over 3,000 are international students from 134 countries. We are truly becoming a university without borders. The university is a magnet for the best and brightest from around the world. A high priority for me is student success. There are an awful lot of terrific programs already in place at Maryland. We have living learning communities that allow students to live together and study together to shrink the psychological size of the university. There are opportunities for internships, research and creative work with faculty, study abroad, service learning. All of these push students to expand their horizons and to maximize their potential. Successful students, of course, rely on outstanding faculty, and we have 81 new faculty joining us this year. Their scholarship, their teaching, and their creative work are extraordinary. Another new member of the Maryland community this year is Kevin Anderson, our new director of athletics. He comes to us from the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. For Kevin, student success is a high priority, both on the field and in the classroom. I know he will provide outstanding leadership to one of the best athletic departments in the country.
Next on Terp Weekly Edition, curious about the vacant spot in Stamps Food Court?
And what do rapping and chemistry class have to do with each other? Stay tuned and we'll tell you more.
This is Terp Weekly Edition. I'm Emily Groh.
And I'm Corey Gallagher. First there was Steak Escape, then In the Meantime, but now the eighth spot in the Stamp Student Union food court is empty. Terp Weekly Edition's Brian Kaufman went to Stamp to get the scoop.
Director of Dining Services Joe Molino says the empty spot in the Stamp Student Union food court has been very popular for potential vendors.
This time, purely through word of mouth, we have over 30 vendors who are interested.
So what does the list of potential restaurants include?
It includes a Bon Pan, it includes Roy Rogers, it includes Indian restaurants, Middle Eastern restaurants, a whole spectrum.
Students have shown a variety of interests when it comes to what they would like to see fill the vacant spot.
I mean, I'd like to see somewhere that has like pulled pork sandwiches, like Steak Escape, like In the Meantime.
Right now, there's only one place that caters to vegetarians. And as a vegetarian, I think it'd be great to have another one.
The goal was originally to use a variety of surveys and focus groups to gauge community interest and have a permanent vendor for the fall semester. But now, Molino says dining services will take their time in selecting a vendor that fits all of their needs. In College Park, I'm Brian Kaufman, Terp Weekly Edition.
For a long while, rap music and rappers have been associated with the streets or a life of crime. As times change, so have many of these perceptions. Terp Weekly Edition's Fiona Weeks takes a look at a different kind of rapper, the college-educated rapper.
Like anything that maintains a national presence for over 30 years, rap music has evolved. In the 70s, hip-hop was defined by DJ Kool Herc or Grandmaster Flash, blasting out of basement parties and street corners. By the 90s, the country was split between Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg's West Coast G-Funk styles and East Coast rappers Rakim and Biggie's aggressive East Coast style. But one thing throughout the years remained consistent. Rappers were hard. Often rapping about guns, drugs, and crime, the life of a rapper wasn't easy, and street credibility was everything. It wasn't until recent years that rappers like Andre 3000 and Pharrell began to trade the thug images in for an alternative one, and still receive cred in the industry. It was even more recent that the idea of a college-educated rapper emerged. Kanye West's debut album, College Dropout, toyed with the idea on a mainstream platform. But as the title suggests, the obligations from school took too much time away from his passion, rap, so he dropped out. Asher Roth burst onto the hip-hop scene in 2009, being named to XXL magazine's annual Top 10 Freshman Hip-Hop Class. His breakout single, I Love College, was a testament to not only his lyrical skills, but the mainstream debut of the college rapper. At the University of Maryland, the hip-hop scene is alive and well, with budding artists visible across campus. During school hours, Theo Wellington and Keith Smith are just regular students, but most of their free time is spent under the aliases Styles and Prophecy, respectively. Both students, currently signed to the Napocalypse Entertainment Group, find that juggling their college studies with the demands of the music industry can become challenging. Theo, aka Styles.
Balancing it is really hard. So now things are actually starting to pick up. Like, we're running on a schedule. We have deadlines for songs that need to be done. But I also have, like, a lot of hard classes. Trying to balance the work is tough.
Rappers are known for rapping about things that are real to them. In the age of gangster rap, much of that included violence. But Prophecy insists that you won't hear that in his music.
You can see that we're not, like, guns this, you know, females that. We actually talk about stuff that goes on in our life. And as far as trying to keep that hoodlum or gangster rap image, that's not nothing we focus on at all.
What they are focused on? Inking the deal that will launch their hip-hop careers on a national level, a goal Prophecy sees them reaching in the not-too-distant future.
We're going to make it. Next year and a half, I give it at max. And I'm trying to sound cocky or conceited, but the prophecy is spoken, and that's the truth.
But while Prophecy and Styles have aspirations of fame and fortune, another rap group on campus is in it for other reasons. On any Monday evening, you'll pass a small group of people outside of Maryland's Jimenez Hall. At the minimum, you'll hear speakers bumping hip-hop instrumental beats, while other nights, a live guitarist or flute soloist accompanies the music. This is the Undergraduates. Founded around 2002, current Undergraduate President Greg Akers, a.k.a. Artiste, describes Undergraduates as a group focused on the discussion of hip-hop music and freestyle rap performances. During freestyles, a rapper creates the lyrics to a song on the spot. Group member Justin Oliver, or Philly Ruckus, is a freestyle standout who has an uncanny ability to tell you the story of his life, not only on the spot, but on rhythm and with intricate detail. While Ruckus says he wouldn't mind going into a professional music career, the state of the rap industry just isn't appealing. Instead, he's focusing on finishing his philosophy degree with a minor in psychology.
Industry-wise, it's at a standstill. There are artists that are doing good music, but right now it seems like everybody's just doing stuff to make more money, not really make a difference.
Other Undergraduate members, like Kirk Canfield, take a comedic approach to their freestyles. You know that all I had for the last
couple of days was some Subway sandwich. There's a lot of comedy and a lot of sadness as well, yes. I don't know. It's whatever comes to your head, you know, at any point in time.
Mainstream or underground, the hip-hop artists on campus continue to integrate rap culture and higher education and are eager for others to embrace them, as well as their music.
This is our stage, you know? We don't even need to be, like, in an auditorium. We could just chill right here on the steps and put on a show for people.
In College Park, Maryland, Fiona Weeks, Terp Weekly Edition.
Still to come on Terp Weekly Edition, the new public information officer of the university police talks about crime.
And Turtle hands over its liquor license. You're listening to Terp Weekly Edition. Coming to water, stuck still, no turning back.
Welcome back to Terp Weekly Edition. I'm Corey Gallagher.
And I'm Emily Groh. Sergeant Ken Leonard has taken over as the new public information officer of the University Police Department. Terp Weekly Edition's Cindy Lee caught up with him to talk about his new job and to share questions from students who are concerned about campus crime.
Hold me on a walk through building 3.
Goodbye, Paul Dillon. Hello, Sergeant Ken Leonard. Leonard is now the new face of the University Police Department as the Public Information Officer.
Right now, just figuring out what I gotta do and trying to learn everybody around the area. So far, it's just learning.
Like Dylan, Leonard graduated from University of Maryland with a criminology degree. He worked as a patrol officer and detective before becoming the new PIO. To warm him up for his new position, I asked students what they'd like Leonard to focus on.
Given the university's close proximity to a high crime area, how will you go about creating a safety plan that is proactive in protecting the students at the University of Maryland?
In response to this, Leonard says the police department is aiming to look out for suspicious people.
We're looking for people who are just hanging around the city, you know, driving in circles. They're just kind of loitering and might follow them for a little bit, stop, identify them. And if they don't give us a good enough reason, you know, explain to them that you're not welcome in this area unless you have some reason to be down in College Park.
Another question from a student.
What percentage of crime alerts actually get solved per year?
In response to this,
I don't have any specific statistics on that, but I think it's not necessarily how many people are getting caught by them, but how many crimes could be prevented.
Leonard says crime rates are going down.
Obviously, we're doing a reasonably good job. I think we have an advantage in that we have a lot of officers in a very small area. We're able to keep an eye on most of the campus. We have things like the CCTV cameras on campus that record a lot of information for us.
Leonard's goal as PIO is to build a good reputation for the police department.
Police department is no different than, you know, politicians. Some people are going to like us, some people are going to hate us. Hopefully our interactions with the public are positive and that will get us further support.
After working nights for 3 years, Leonard is happy now to have a day job as PIO. But he'll still be on duty as patrol officer when needed. For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Cindy Lee in College Park.
The Thirsty Turtle has given up its liquor license. By now, you know the popular bar was recently cited for serving liquor to minors. It was the second violation in 2 years. The Prince George's County Liquor Board voted to revoke the popular bar's license. Turtle doesn't plan on appealing this decision since the bar owners surrendered the license voluntarily. The bar doors are now closed until all of the alcohol can be moved to the owner's other establishment, Ilario's Pizzeria. It's not clear whether Turtle will shut down entirely or reopen as a dry restaurant.
Still to come on Terp Weekly Edition, how will a new metro line change a commuter's route and the cities it plans to stop in?
And how did new toilet flushers help UMD get a $350 million endowment? Find out after the break. This is Terp Weekly Edition. I'm Corey Gallagher.
And I'm Emily Groh. Has a 20-minute drive ever taken you more than an hour because of traffic or because of switching lines on the metro? I'll tell you how supporters of the Purple Line believe it will cut off more than half of a commuter's traveling time, and also how it may change the Capitol Crescent Trail.
Maryland senior Mike Gutierrez is headed from his home in College Park to his job in Chevy Chase. The trip sometimes takes an hour and a half. His Green Line train will head south to Gallery Place, where he'll switch to the Red Line and head north to Chevy Chase. The trip could be cut by two-thirds with the Purple Line.
It would just be a direct trip straight to my work, have more of my own time to do homework and other things that are important as well.
The proposed 16-mile-long line will run through campus and connect the College Park Metro Station with Silver Spring and Bethesda. The planned light rail line is designed to get people out of their cars and onto the metro. Each train car can hold up to 200 people. Construction for this new line is scheduled to begin in 2012. It will take 3 to 5 years to be completed. But not everyone is on board for the Purple Line. Part of it is slated to run alongside the Capitol Crescent Trail connecting Bethesda and Silver Spring. And some worry it won't be scenic or safe. Potomac resident Lorraine Tischler regularly walks along the trail.
I love walking on the Capitol Crescent Trail. The scenery is so beautiful here. My worry is if the purple line is implemented, how close the line will be to the pedestrians.
But for many, like Mike, the purple line means convenience, more free time to do homework, and hang out with friends. In College Park, I'm Emily Grove for TERP Weekly Edition.
The University of Maryland received high marks on their sustainability report card. I find out how going green is just the beginning for College Park.
Interested in poetry? We'll tell you about a place on campus where students are sharing their work.
How is the media impacting the Black community? We'll tell you after the break.
Didn't know that you were sad. Didn't know that you were a heavenly ghoul, gassed in blue flame. Makes us feel so exuberant to believe you're not just a sycophant. We would have done something. We would have done something. We would have done something.
This is TERP Weekly Edition. I'm Emily Groh.
And I'm Corey Gallagher. Some people might get nervous at the thought of sharing their work in public, but as TERP Weekly Edition's Faye Koya found out, it is not as scary as you might think.
Oh yeah, there's the turtle. Get your Squirtle. It's your Blastoise. It's your Testoise. In your balls. It's your Rolls Royce. Everybody knows that you...
It's Tuesday night, like, and in the basement of Dorchester Hall, students are getting excited.
Pick up some 17-year-old. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We over here at... TERP Poets, adult only.
There's going to be a TERP Poets open mic, so basically anyone who wants to can come read poetry, spoken word, anything they want.
I don't know, I've never done this before, so I just kind of wanted to get out there and try something.
You literally come here, sign up, bring some of your friends, read your piece when your name is called, we clap for you.
All right, so welcome, TERP Poets. We're going to have everyone's attention. We're going to get started, 7 o'clock.
All right, I wrote 2 poems. One of them is sadder than the other. Which one would you guys like to hear first?
Sadder
one first.
I'm a huge nerd, so I decided to write about geology.
Nice.
All right. Igneous rocks of passion, formed from icy waters of stagnation, epitaph love songs enlighten me to...
I'm Kevin.
Okay.
Hey, thanks.
Kevin.
Hey. Okay, cool. All right. Yo, what's up? Do I always have to be prejudged every time I lift my iPod and nod my head? Yo, what's up? Do I always have to be criticized when I cheer my white friends, my Black friends, but never my Hispanic friends? Why, what's up? Do I always have to flash my university ID card to be respected? Yo, what's up? Do I always have to wear my eyeglasses, my peacoat, to be selected?
Okay, I'm Alex, and I'm going to play some music, and this song is about the constant need to keep on moving, like, feel like we're going somewhere.
If you
The open mic night attracts everyone from beginners to the experienced. Vice President of Terp Poets, Jen Asher, encourages people to give it a try, even if they might be a little nervous.
We're not Showtime at the Apollo. We're not tapping people off stage. No one gets booed. We are a marketplace of ideas. We are completely open to anything. I've never in all my years heard of anyone who said, man, that was a terrible experience. I really regret stepping out of my shell and making a stride.
Hello, my name is Patrice. I'm here to recite a poem called This Place. And this is my first time performing it in front of an audience. I live in this place that's tagged with hate, where the only thing that matters is religion or race. Sex, money, and drugs are running the streets, and people killing themselves just asking for peace.
This is the second time performing for linguistics major Jonah Potasnik.
Your eyes were puddles, so I jumped in them with a childish leap. I had rubber ducky rain boots on my feet, and my animal companions and I
The nerves never really fully go away, but you get more comfortable as you do it more and more times. I mean, I'm still new. It's not like I'm a complete veteran.
Something about this event keeps students coming back, even after their time as an undergraduate has come to an end.
My name is Jonathan B. Tucker. My major, space exploration. Space exploration. No, I've graduated.
Sometimes I cry like Bob Dylan's harmonica. Changing my name to a B flat for you, I wail like Bob Marley on a lonely night. But you've never heard of Nesta, Robert Zimmerman, or Jonathan B. Tucker, and that's okay. Because sometimes I'm Ellison Invisible.
Why do I like writing? It's good for you. It's like eating vegetables. It makes your mind healthy. It's fun. I don't know. People tend to like me performing, and so I keep coming back and performing again and again. And they like it, and I'll keep doing it.
More covers, all amends, and as comfortable as sweatpants. Yes, I pray that one day my crucial fiction will not be so damn real.
To find out the date of the next open mic, visit www.terpoets.com. In College Park, I'm Faye Coy at Terp Weekly Edition.
What do some of the top African-American names in journalism have to say about their field? Terp Weekly Edition's Jolie Doggett attended the State of Black Leadership panel discussion on how themes in film, news, and television are affecting the black community.
There also is a problem in the black community, and we have got to face it, but we've got to look at ourselves and actually pick apart these problems and address them.
What problems is WHRU radio personality Molette Green talking about? That was a topic of discussion at the annual State of Black Leadership panel in the Corey Smith Performing Arts Center hosted by the Maryland Student Chapter of the NAACP. Panelists included a mix of students, faculty, and media personalities, including popular radio host Aaron Hercules Grays from WPGC 95.5. Each panelist discussed varying issues facing the black community today.
As a black man, you need to be dead, in jail, play sports, or be a drug dealer. Mm-hmm. We're automatically written off as black men.
Before a diverse audience of university students, faculty, and guests, the panelists touched on topics of education.
African-American boys are not graduating from high school. And when you don't graduate from high school, you don't go to college. Look in this room right now. There are more girls than boys. That is a problem. Who are these girls going to have to marry?
Stereotypes.
I think honestly, in terms of stereotypes, like Amber said, there's a little bit of truth to each one of them. And as long as people buy into them, they'll be perpetuated. That's why I didn't really want to even comment on stereotypes, because they're so cyclical. The conversation is going to go around and around and around. They exist. So stop feeding into it. Stop being one.
Community perception, self-image, and how television shows and popular culture taint the image of the black community.
Media portrays black men as dogs and black women as independent women, which they are. It's been like that for years. And that has such a negative connotation on the writing that goes on in these shows should not affect how we live our daily lives. Point blank.
At times, the discussion got a little heated.
Well, I think what Angela said, you're living up to the expectation.
It's like
the expectation is that
But how can rising black leaders challenge the negativity of the television media? The panelists seem to agree that this responsibility starts with the spectator.
We're always quick to knock each other down, and that's one thing we have to stop doing in the black community. We have two strong television networks. One is also a radio network, but we're the first ones to knock everything down and complain, well, they don't do this. Well, instead of complaining, get a job, because they're hiring. Go in there, work, and help fix it.
It's about returning that element of, I want to say literacy, almost. Plain old media literacy. Do we need the media? Yes. It does such amazing work for us in terms of giving us information, in terms of providing us with useful facts that we need just to get to work that day, right? Or just to, it's so practical, we need the media. Now, are there other elements to the media that we can maybe do without? Yes, is that the media's fault? No, it's not the media's fault. It's my fault as an individual reader.
For more information about this event and upcoming ones, students can inquire to the Maryland National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. In College Park, I'm Jolie Doggett for Terp Weekly Edition.
That's all for this week's Terp Weekly Edition. I'm Emily Grow.
And I'm Corey Gallagher. We'll be back next week with more news from in and around College Park. And don't forget, you can take us with you. You can find our podcast at www.twe.umd.edu.
This has been Terp Weekly Edition, produced and written by students of the Philip Merrill College of Journalism in cooperation with WMUC Radio. Please join us next week at the same time for a look at the issues in and around the University of Maryland College Park.